Good evening, Wahoos, and welcome all you friendly ACC sports fans out there. It's still chilly, but things have really been heating up for the Wahoo basketball team. 9 wins in a row in the conference. I say that again, 9 wins in a row in the ACC. Not too shabby. And I think the Wahoos have done it relatively quietly, except for Brogdon's bomb against Pittsburgh 2 weekends ago. I've got none other than a good friend and co-host Jim Hobgood with me tonight, as well as Terry Gates, former Cavalier enforcer, power rebounder, clutch free throw shooter, I might add, down at Chapel Hill once. So
we like guys, particularly big guys that can make free throws. That's always a bonus. That's one good thing about Mike Toby. And speaking of Mike Toby, he kept us in the game early on Saturday against Clemson. I was a little nervous at first. I think Clemson scored on their first 6 possessions against a Virginia team touted as the number one defensive team in the country. So the Cavs got off to a tough start, but they hung in the game largely because of some of the baskets that Toby was making, and obviously came back ultimately to lead at halftime. But that second half was a struggle, but they got it done. So each game they win, it becomes more important, makes the next game more important. Isn't that right, Mr. Gates?
Well, at this point in time, you just survive. A win on the road. They had one in Clemson, South Carolina.
Yeah,
I mean, 7 years. Right. So,
and that's a tough place to play.
And you said they were 6 for 6. They go 12 for 36 the rest of the game. So that answers some of those questions, how they did it. But, you know, this team has a lot of composure. They keep playing possession by possession. They have some very good defensive abilities. And you said, you know, Mike Toby has not played well. And all of a sudden for him to go 7 of 9 and score, you know, 14 points and get 5 rebounds in 21 minutes.
Yeah.
Those are huge numbers.
A lot of that done in the first half. But, I've often said college basketball, no disrespect to you, and obviously it really helps when you have a Ralph Sampson, but college basketball is a guard-oriented game, and Virginia now with Perantes, Brogdon, and Harris just has a terrific backcourt, and you plug in Justin Anderson and the energy that he brings to them, and, you know, Mitchell and Anthony Gill. Anthony Gill, we don't want to forget him. He had a really good game on Saturday against Clemson. Made a big contribution late with the traditional 3-point play after Joe Harris knocked down a 3. So a lot of contributors on Saturday to a big, big win.
Well, which brings us to the LeClaire Ryan play of the game.
Yeah, and honorable mention would be the 2 threes by Joe Harris. One to tie it at 43, the one late. And I'd give an honorable mention to Anthony Gill's 3-point play, but you got to give it to Brogdon making those free throws down the stretch. You know, McDaniels. How good a player is he? I mean, he is one heck of an athlete, but he knocks down that deep 3 to pull.
Over top Akil Mitchell, who's only about 6'9".
Yeah, but it makes it a 1-point game with 23 seconds to go, and Virginia wisely gets the ball in the hands of Brogdon. He dribbles up the floor, gets fouled, goes to the line, knocks down 2. Clemson not able to convert on their next possession. Virginia gets it back. Brogdon gets fouled again, knocks 2 more down, and game over.
All right, couple things to note. The Cavs' 12-1 record in conference is their best start since opening the 1981-82 season. This is the first 9-game ACC winning streak since 81-82. Virginia gained its 6th ACC road win for the first time since 1982-83. And let's see here. Virginia has 12 ACC wins for the first time since 1994-95. With 12 ACC wins, Virginia became the 2nd ACC school to improve its ACC record in 5 consecutive seasons. Can you name the other school?
Georgia Tech, Bobby Crummins.
You cheated. Hubba always looks over my shoulder.
All those courses.
That's what Linda said. How did he pass those classes?
What honor system? No,
hey,
no just
let's, let's talk about
a little yellow book with stripes are going across it, I think.
Let's talk about the starting lineup. Virginia has had the same starting lineup for the 13th consecutive game. London Perantes, Malcolm Brogdon, Joe Harris, Akil Mitchell, and Mike Toby. And I have said, literally since middle of last season, that they should be starting Toby every game because if they'll just play that tall, skinny kid, they will win games. He's learning. He blocks a shot here and there. He can defend in the low post, usually pretty decently. He makes little tip-ins a great example is the shot right before halftime where backhanded with his left hand, he redirected that ball into the basket.
Well, Terry can speak to this too, but Toby's the one natural five guy that we have, you know, because really Mitchell and Gill and Darian Atkins are not
forwards.
Traditional low post guys. Would you agree with that, Mr. Gates?
Yeah, and he, you know, he has that hook shot, which is very nice. He's got a good set of hands. He doesn't bring the ball down to his waist like a lot of big guys do. Strength wise, they list him at 253. He's a project. I mean, he's getting better and better. There are some games where there's going to be players that are stronger, quicker, faster, and all that stuff, and he just has to survive those. But as Frank said, every game in 2014, every ACC game he started, and they're 12-1. There's something to be said about that. He's had some games down the stretch lately that haven't gone so well. But when you put Mr. Gill in, who's a nice compliment, you know. We talk about Toby scoring 14, but Gill has 12 points on 4-for-4 shooting in 22 minutes. So.
And Gill's free throw that he made following the nice drive to the basket that he made, that was a honorable mention LeClaire Ryan play of the game.
Yeah, it was a big three-point play. But you also look at the stat sheet, which Terry has. 35 minutes for Brogdon. No, Joe Harris, 36 for Perantes, 35 for I'm looking at the wrong lines here, but basically Harris, Brogdon,
Justin
and
Anderson.
Perantes play 35 or 36 minutes. Clearly, I think Bennett now in the ACC play has decided what his rotation is, and those three guys he wants on the floor most of the time, undoubtedly.
But you know, you also look at the shooting there: 6 of 15 for Harris, 3 of 9 for Brogdon so from the field, and 0 of 2 for Perantes. So. You know, those guys are taking a lot of shots. I'd like to see him try to get more and more people in the offense. Very productive on Gill, as we said, 4 of 4, and Toby is 7 of 9. So, you know, I'd like to see Justin Anderson play some more, but I guess that game dictated he not. And I think it's very important to have, you know, Brogdon and Harris out there, obviously, for a large portion of the game.
You know, the only bugaboo that I have, and it's hard to complain or find too much fault here, but I do like it when Nolte and Tevin Jones get in games in both halves to spell these starters, just to take a load off their feet, give them a chance to sit on the sideline, drink some Gatorade or water or whatever they're drinking, and gather their composure, protect them from a dumb, cheap foul. And that particularly holds true for Joe Harris. I think if Bennett would give Joe a few breaks every now and then so that Joe doesn't lapse and have a play on defense where he just is, you know, plumb tuckered out. I think they could avoid some of those 2 and 3 fouls.
Well, they expect a lot of him. You know, he started the game guarding, you know, McDaniels. So that means it's not like he can take time off on the defensive end. Of course, under Bennett, I don't know that anybody can take time off on the defensive end. But, you know, late in the game when Harris got in that fourth foul, they switched Brogdon over to McDaniels, and as Frank said, on the three-point play that McDaniels made, they had Akil Mitchell on him, trying to put a big guy on him to maybe prevent him from taking that three-point shot, but Mitchell went out, and I think because he's a big guy, he didn't necessarily have his hands up really to try to guard against the three. He was worried more about the drive.
I promise you that in the games ahead, Mitchell's a very smart player. I think the coaches will get to him about this and look at the film and say, listen, in the last minute of any half, you've got to, when you step out on one of their top shooters, please put one hand in the air first.
Well, but you say that, Frank, but look, I think Mitchell had both feet outside the three-point area. So that was
a long three-pointer.
That was a very long three-pointer. So get his hand up, yes, but that was not a 22-foot shot. That was a 25, 26-foot shot.
No two ways about it. It was a long shot, but you have to anticipate that player is shooting. And
yeah.
I promise you this. Syracuse is making bombs like that, and Virginia had better get ready for Trevor Cooney and Ennis, Tyler Ennis.
Cooney's a different story.
And Tyler Ennis.
Yeah, maybe not from three, but against Syracuse, and we're 2 or 3 games away from Syracuse. We got to worry about Virginia Tech first. But Cooney's the kind of guy that whoever is guarding him just cannot help in the middle as much because you just can't allow him to get open looks from the perimeter.
Well, Perantes cannot – he can't slough off – down in the lane. He has got to stay out there within almost arm's reach of Ennis. Otherwise, you get burned.
What are we talking about the Syracuse game for? Aren't there a couple of games before?
Yeah.
let's get back to the Hokies. All right, let's talk about the Hokies.
Three games.
We're not looking past the Hokies. It's just that so many emails are bombarding us these days from people looking for tickets. I have never seen.
If you don't come to play tomorrow night in Blacksburg.
No, Frank, before we went on air, I mean, I think we are going to get Virginia Tech's best effort of the season tomorrow night. You know, they're playing at home. You know, they took Pitt to two overtimes and beat Miami the other night, so they finally got a win in 2014. But I think for the first time maybe all year, they're going to have close to a full house down there in Blacksburg, even if it just means letting all the students in, which could make for even more of a raucous crowd. So I think Virginia clearly going to have to get down there ready to play. But the great thing about the team thus far is they seemingly have had the maturity to be able to go on the road and go into tough environments and still play well.
Well, just like the Clemson game, when Clemson comes out and goes 6-for-6, you got to keep playing. The game's not over. So you just got to bear with it, try to get good shots, and let nature take its course, because that's going to average out. And as I said, Clemson down the stretch went 12-of-36, which is 33%. So far cry from the start they had.
Well, to give you some credit, I looked the other day. Virginia, five times we have been first in the ACC, but four of the five times we were tied for first. The only time we were outright first was your senior year, 81, 13-1. But you guys started, what, 22, 23-0?
I think it was 23. I think I saw it was on the screen on ESPN the other night. I think it said it was 23.
I did look, and you were 6-4 in the last 10 games. As you hearken back to that, did anything change? Maybe just the competition was tough? Did guys run out of gas, or what happened in the last 10 games?
Certainly the competition got better. I think we lost to Carolina in the Final Four, and they had Perkins and Worthy. Worthy missed half that year. I think he broke his ankle, and he was in at the end of the year. You know, we got beat by a Maryland team in the ACC tournament, and they're a pretty good team when you had guys like Albert King and Buck Williams and Ernie Graham and some guys like that. So they weren't any slouches.
Well, I've got the record book here.
The loss was Notre Dame.
No. Yeah. Right. We already said that. That was 56-57. Orlando Woolridge hit the long fadeaway, which I guarantee you if he took 10 tries, he doesn't make two of them.
But then I think they lost the next game to Wake Forest.
Lost to Wake Forest in overtime.
I think that was at Wake, and I believe I started that game. I think Ralph had the flu or something. So But then
the Wahoos beat a good Maryland team, 74-63. Father Gill, the elbow in the back to Ralph the entire game. What a bum.
Okay, well, let's go back. How did Ralph get the flu? I thought he was living at Coach Holland's house. You know, I thought that's what T. Holland was supposed to do to make sure he was guarded from the media and guarded from the flu bug. My goodness.
And Virginia then beat Georgia Tech 76-47. So I think that was a little bit of payback maybe for something they said down there. And then Maryland got even, beating the Cavahoos 85-62.
In the tournament, yep.
Yeah, and then Virginia beat Villanova 54-50, beat Tennessee 62-48, beat Brigham Young. I was there for both those games down in Atlanta. Maybe the most raucous Virginia crowds I've ever been around down there at the, was it the Horizon?
No, the Omni, which is
the
gone.
Omni, the Omni.
It's gone.
That's right. It's no longer there. And then Virginia, unfortunately, in the Final Four, ran into Al Wood and Carolina. But the team ended on a high note.
LSU.
Beating LSU in the last time they played the third place
consolation game. So we have a man 74. Here. That leads to my next question. Do we have to take a break, or we got time for a question here?
Why don't we go ahead and take our break right now. When we come back, more conversation with Terry Gates and Habbo as we break down the Virginia basketball program. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.